Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Barah Ministries has a worldwide reach and an intimate impact on lives through the gracious provision of our omnipotent God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the internet, a place where anyone with access can be reached with your word. Today's study, well, it's not really a study. Today, we're going to talk about the state of the ministry. We're going to talk about the state of the ministry. Every year, the President of the United States has a State of the Union address, and he reports on the condition of the nation, the needs of the nation, and the priorities of the nation. So likewise, a pastor has to stop every once in a while in reflection to share with his congregation the state of our union. Now, what is the state of our union? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Well, the congregation members of Barah Ministries, resident and non-resident, who are believers in Christ, are in union with Christ. At the moment of salvation, God the Holy Spirit, through the baptism of the Spirit, places all people who believe in Christ into union with Christ. So the state of our union with the sovereign God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, is alive and well and permanent. You know, we have a relationship with Christ. And so in today's message, it's my pleasure to tell you how I think the ministry that God is running and that God has given us is doing. So let's begin that with a prayer. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of knowing you and of having the opportunity to study your word on a regular basis. Father, this is your ministry, Barah Ministries. A place where you can make something out of us nothings, which is the meaning of Barah, to make something from nothing. And we look forward with eager anticipation to the things that you will be doing through us as this ministry progresses in the coming years. Use us as you see fit. Keep us strong in unity with each other. Do not give those who are enemies of this ministry what they deserve. Instead, treat them in grace, just as you treat us, and without partiality. And give us the desires of our heart, and make it obvious when our blessings are from you. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. So, the state of the ministry. I'm looking forward to sharing details of our progress with you. But first, a few announcements. So, mark your calendars next week. March 13th is our next Lord's Supper celebration. And next deacon meeting is March 26th from 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. We will visit the vets on April 3rd from 1:45 p.m. to 3 p.m. We got a couple happy birthday wishes on March 4th. Dorothy McDonald became 90 years old. So she completed, yeah. Yay, Dorothy. So she completed her 90th year. That's pretty special. I'll take that. I want that. I'll take 90. I'll take 100. Also, happy birthday to Susie Embry, who has a birthday coming up on March 12th. And happy birthday to Lila Clark, who has a birthday coming up on March 12th. I don't know how that one got in there, but give that one the boot. Yeah, it should have been bigger. If she had been doing the slides, that, you know, there'd be balloons and everything going all over the place. Just a reminder, take the Word of God with you wherever you go. You can download the Barah Ministries app. It's available at Google Play, at the Windows App Store, or at the iTunes Store. And it's also downloadable from the Barah Ministries website. And make sure you tell your friends about the app. It's a great way to have the Word of God at your disposal all the time. So Barah Ministries is also back on the radio at KXEG 1280 AM, The Trumpet, on Sundays at noon. So when you're on your way home from church, or if you want to tune in on the internet, you can do that. I think the lessons are posting to the internet now, so You can also go to KXCG's website and listen to those lessons. And prayers for those who have prayed on the Barah Ministries prayer request group on one of our Facebook pages. Join me in prayer directed at the intercession and the petitions of those people visiting the Barah Ministries prayer request group. All right, so let's talk about the state of the ministry. And, you know, one of the things that make a session like this necessary is that just a lot of things that I need to tell you that just build up. And during the Sunday lessons, I don't want to burden the Sunday lessons with a bunch of things like this, although these are all things that I would want you to know. And I just don't want to take away from your study of the Word of God to tell you. So just this is an appropriate time to just stop and tell you how things are. So let's start with finances, because finances are the lifeblood of a ministry in terms of it being able to operate. So as a ministry, we take in about $80,000 a year. And our expenses are about $60,000 a year. So we usually have a surplus of about $20,000. Now, we dipped well below that level at the end of last year, but a few timely donations, quote unquote, out of nowhere, directed by our Lord, of course, really bailed us out. So I want to thank the people who were generous enough to make those contributions. And so our surplus level is at a place that I'm comfortable with. And I want you to know that the finances of this ministry are very well cared for. We have never been in a dire circumstance financially, and the Lord continues to prosper us. I continue not to take a salary. The Lord blesses me quite well in my other career, so I'm fine with that for now, but one day I hope that changes. I would like to do this full-time sometime one of these days, probably when I'm 90, I don't know. There are some things, though, on my pastor's wish list, and I know that you wonder what it is that you can do for the person who has everything, you know, a guy who has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You think, what can I do for him? Well, you know, you can always get me a Starbucks card or an Amazon gift card or iTunes card, I guess, but here are some of the things on my pastor's wish list. Number one, I would like to enhance my pastor's library, especially since I had to throw out quite a few books when we dismissed systematic theology. As a matter of fact, that took about two-thirds of my library and put it right in the garbage can. So I would like to get some books. I would like to update my Bible study software. I am two versions behind on the updates for that. And I'd like to take a trip for a three-day seminar to update my Bible study skills with the Bible software. So I put that out to you in prayer, and if you see it in your heart to help me in that way, then I'll appreciate it. I'd like to express my deep and heartfelt gratitude for your financial support. The non-resident congregation continues to provide the support that helps us stay open, and I see great things in the future for the ministry because of you. And I thank the resident congregation for their unity and for their support in time and talent, as well as in treasure, which allows us to be a small ministry that packs a lot of punch in the spiritual realm. And just so you know, and we'll talk about this later when we talk about the building, but the ministry has invested $250,000 in a piece of land that we own outright, on which we will build our building. And we've invested $75,000 in the architectural services to be able to have the plans for that building. And that's completely paid. So, you know, for a small ministry to do that and for a small ministry to be solvent is a huge deal. I know people who work at banks, who work with churches. And a lot of small churches of our stature take in about $30,000 a year. The pastor doesn't get anything. And they're always struggling about where they're going to meet next. So we don't have those issues. God has really blessed us because we've always taken care of getting ourselves into places where we could get the most for the least. So for example, when we were in hotels, we were getting the hotel for $200 a Sunday, which is absolutely amazing. We got it for as little as $150 a Sunday, which is tremendous, and they're very classy places. So we've done really well in the financial realm, and I expect that to continue. Next thing on the agenda is the pastor. So quite often, people wonder how I'm doing personally. Well, as you can hear, you know, I'm using my Barry White voice today, or my Isaac Hayes voice, because I have bronchitis, and I have a really bad case of it. I went to the doctor today, and I thought I had pneumonia, but he assures me that I don't. But he did up my medication. So when you have bronchitis, you kind of go like this, and then you go like that, and you go like this, and you go like that. So I've been going through a lot of ups and downs, and haven't been sleeping very well. But beyond that, I can tell you that I've never been happier in my life. My life is filled with great people who care about me. It's filled with great challenges that are stretching me physically and emotionally and spiritually. I've lost 10 pounds already this year, which I think is really cool. And I didn't have to cut off a leg to do it. My cup of abundance runs over. Being married the second time around suits me well. And I'm really pleased that my relationship with Lila sits firmly on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Unconditional love and forgiveness live in our relationship, and perfection does not. And so we have to use unconditional love and forgiveness on a regular basis because we are not perfect. And I like that. And we're both very gracious with each other. We have both grown immeasurably since we first met nearly 3 years ago. Lila is a huge contributor to my happiness, and she is my partner in every sense of the word. The deacons are next on the list, and I couldn't be happier with the two men who helped me run this ministry, Deacon Denny Goodall and Deacon Larry Collins. They are supportive, loyal, loving, and giving men who are always willing to overlook my faults and who are always willing to compensate for my weaknesses. And I love them both more than words could ever express. We meet monthly to check in with each other. We make tweaks to the direction of the ministry, but I just feel pushed in all the right ways by them, supported in all the right ways. And guys, you're just two of the best people I've ever met in my entire life, and I just thank you so much for being the men that you are. And you have to have men who are loyal and men who are caring and giving and unconditional in their love and forgiving to be able to run a ministry, because there is no question about it that other than marriage, running a ministry has got to be the hardest thing that anyone has ever been called to do. And the things that you go through, you can't even get up here and explain to people. And to have two men backing me up like that and having my front and my back and my sides and my top and my bottom is just something that I'll always remember for all eternity. In terms of the state of the ministry as it relates to ministries, when we had our first deacon meeting this year, we just stopped and said, hey, what ministries do we have? Because Barah is a collection of ministries. And, you know, we don't call it church, because people, one of the reasons we don't call it church is because people hate the word church and don't want to go to it, but because they were always forced to go to church when they were little kids. But the other thing is, it's this organization is a series of ministries, and ministries minister to people. And it's pretty amazing when we sat down and asked ourselves what our ministries are, how many ministries are coming out of such a small group. And what we're able to accomplish. So we boast the following ministries, and we boast them because God has set them up for us, not because there's any merit on our own. So we have a radio ministry. Every week we have a 30-minute radio program. We're teaching Romans, which is the foundational book of biblical Christianity, and Deacon Larry Collins has been the one who's been gracious enough to sponsor that and manage it for us. We have a non-resident congregation. We have people who listen to us on the internet, either streaming live or listening to our video or audio broadcasts. And we have two conferences with our non-resident congregation every year. One is the Northern Idaho Conference. This coming year, this year it'll be August 5th and 6th in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And it's sponsored by John and Monica Miller, who have a phenomenal ministry, the Northern Idaho Ministry of Barah Ministries going. And then we have the new Pennsylvania, New York ministry, and Joel and Deanna Parkowski are managing that in between feeding that little crumb snatcher that they just had a couple months ago. So we're looking forward to the conference in Pennsylvania in September, the conference in Idaho in August. And one of the things that I'd like to see people do is come to those conferences. We really have a lot of fun there. And it's a good chance to meet face-to-face when you're not part of the resident congregation. Also, I invite you who are in the non-resident congregation anytime to come in and join us here at Barah Ministries. We have plenty of seats, and we'd love to have you. We have a veterans ministry that is coordinated by Susie Embry. And every other month we go to visit the veterans, and we give them ice cream, and we sing them songs, and we talk to them, and we take their pictures, and we joke with them and poke around and tease them. And it's always great to be with these guys who stood on a wall and said, nothing's going to hurt you tonight, not on my watch. And they love, love, love when we come. And when June starts singing, people start flocking in. It's like cockroaches flocking in because they heard some cheese got dropped on the floor. It's unbelievable. Just people start coming. Not saying that June is a piece of cheese or a cockroach, you understand. We have a Facebook ministry that is coordinated beautifully by Tracy Bixby. And so we put a 10-minute lesson up every week that gives a little bit about God, who he is, and what his word says. And we have routinely over 65,000 views of those 10-minute lessons. And so that's what I mean when we say we have a worldwide reach with an intimate impact, because there are a lot of people who are checking in there and seeing those short lessons, and some word of God is better than none. Tracy is going to begin to do some targeted advertising around the church area to see if we can attract people to the ministry, because we'd like to, since we have a very good place to meet and we have a very good message, it would be really nice to have some people visit us. We have a prayer ministry on Facebook that Susie Embry coordinated, and that is getting a lot of mileage. People are going on, and it, for me as a pastor, it really gives me a sense for what the congregation's needs are. And it helps me with my own prayer life. So we really appreciate Susie setting that up and all the people who participate in it. And we have people coming in to that page from all over the world. That's the thing that's so amazing about the internet, is that you can reach people all over the world in 5 seconds for free. It's just amazing what the internet is able to do. We have a music ministry with June Murphy. She has produced 4 CDs in her time here at Barah Ministries, and that is 40 songs that she has written and produced. She has brought 40 songs out of her head, and I know you know that the songs are absolutely amazing, and they are infections. They get into your soul and they stay there all week, and I find myself sometimes, stop it, you know, I have to try to stop myself from playing them over and over in my head. We have a publications ministry that is coordinated by me. That's why there haven't been many publications coming out. But when we talk about our objectives for 2016, I'm going to make a couple of commitments to you in the matter of our publications. Let's see, what else do we have? We have a Bibles ministry. Deacon Denny Goodall coordinates that. So anybody who comes in and wants a Bible can have one free of charge. And there's no charge for anything that we do here at Barah Ministries. Everything is done by grace. And if people want to contribute, they're welcome to do it. But everything that we have is available for free. We have a website ministry that's coordinated by Deacon Mark Pomeroy of the Lighthouse Bible Church. And he is working on an update of our website. Google has new regulations about how they value different websites, and you have to have compatibility with mobility. You have to have a website that is compatible on the phones. And Mark has done that for Lighthouse Bible Church, and he's in the process of doing that for us. And he does that free of charge. He is just amazing. And then Pat Collins coordinates our kids' ministry. Pat has created 10 lessons to teach the essence of God. And so if the pastor wasn't so delinquent, we'd have those in printed form, but we have that coming up. And then we're also remodeling the kids' room so that we can make biblical learning stations throughout the kids' room so that when we have kids visit us, that they can be taken in there and taught the Word of God while they're here. So that's a lot of ministries for a little ministry, don't you think? There are a lot of people who participate here. And I think that one of the things that I've noticed about the ministries is that they are the creations that come from the passion of the people who do them. And so if there's anything that you're passionate about that you'd like to start a ministry over here, please step forward because we'd be happy to have it. Next are the 2016 objectives. You know, what do we want to do in the new year? So the deacons and I got together and we thought there are three things we want to do. One is we want to find a funding source for the new church building. And in case you didn't see Nick Santakis' presentation, I'd just like to go through it really quickly with you and just let you see it. If you're listening to this on audio, you're probably going to have to get someplace where you can see this on video. But the proposed church facility is a site at the corner of Guadalupe and Burke in Gilbert, Arizona, which is about 2 miles from my house, which is an amazing coincidence. And Nick put together a preliminary plan to use that space, and the building is 5,200 square feet. Now, there is a house on the corner right next to our property, and that house is being rented. And that house is a target in our mind that, you know, we'd like it if God blessed us in such a way that we could buy that house and then level it, and then we could have that whole lot with the corner included. So that is yet to be seen. We'll pray for that, and if that's in line with the owner's wishes and God's wishes, then that may come to pass. But Nick has done a great job of putting together the floor plan for the space, and we're really excited about what he's done. This is what the building looks like. This is what the building will look like when it is completed. And we also have a night version of that. These are prominent throughout the property. It has a big parking lot that I think will accommodate about 60 cars. It's just a beautiful facility. Nick Santakis, the architect, has been thinking about this building for 10 years. And he put together exactly what we would want. There's a basketball court out back so we can get kids involved in the church. It has beautiful sight lines from anywhere on the property. It's just a fabulous facility. And it's definitely going to be something that the neighbors and the neighboring houses would be proud of. So, now the worst thing that happened is that when this was put together, we want to be in that building tomorrow. But we're not going to be in it tomorrow. And I think people really underestimate the thinking, the time, and the manpower it takes to do something like this. But this part of it, having the land and owning it outright and having an architect who is as good as Nick, is beautiful. And we think that to build a building will probably cost $1.5 million, brand new. Just to put that in perspective, there is a church that's for sale right down the street from my house that's $1.8 million on a patch of land that's about the same. So we would have a brand new facility, custom made the way we like it, for $300,000 less. And there are economies of scale that we can get once we get deeper into the project. It will probably take $500,000 to furnish it. And then we'd like to have 4 years of $250,000 so that we could operate it without worrying that we would have to close it or we wouldn't be able to pay the lights. So $3 million is our estimate for a cushion. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, and it sounds like a lot of money when you're a small church, but our Father owns all the gold in the world and all the cattle on 1,000 hills, so we're not worried about that aspect of it. And we're not worried about that aspect of it because there are people who are looking to fund projects like this, and they are not used to seeing things as professionally done as this, and they fund them. So we're going to get the funding. And so it's just a matter of the timing that God wants that to occur in. And so Nick has done a beautiful job of putting this facility together, and we're really looking forward to being in it. It's just gorgeous. It's one of those situations where he presented it, and Larry and Denny and I looked at each other, and then we looked at Nick and said, yeah, don't change anything. It was just perfect. And when we have that facility, people will come. That is not going to be an empty building. So when we think about that aspect of things, ideas are welcome. For if you know of organizations that could help us fund this, please let me know. You know, when it is open, some of the things that I'd like to see going on in that building that we don't do now, I'd like to have some classes on biblical parenting so that we could attract young families. I'd like to see a young men's program in personal growth so that we could attract young men who I think aren't getting a lot of direction from the world these days. I'd like to have a program for Alcoholics Anonymous. And so there are a lot of things that we can do once that facility is up and running. And we're going to find ways to do it. Our first thing this year is to find a funding source for the building. The second thing we want to do is invite people to the ministry. And, you know, so I told you about the updates we're making to the kids' room, but if each of us invited one person every week to come, we would probably double in size by the end of the year. And size alone is not a concern of mine, just exposing people to the Word of God is. And then the third thing we want to do is we want to create a communications package about the about the ministry. And that would include brochures like "You Will Seek Me and You Will Find Me When You Search for Me with All Your Heart." Something that talks about what makes Barah Ministries different. And I think what makes us different is we look at the Word of God from God's perspective and not from man's. God wants you, an introduction to God, and the creator-creature conflict explained. So those are some of the things that we're thinking about in the brochure area. It would be a small brochures that you could give to people as a way of introducing them to some of the things they would learn by coming to the ministry. The two publications we want to get out, first half of the year, If You Have Faith, which would be a collaboration between me and Tony LaGrasso. And that would be for believers dealing with illness. You know, Tony LaGrasso found out he had bone marrow cancer, and he was cancer-free in a year. And then another one called There Will Be False Prophets, for unbelievers who are entangled in a religion. And since I was a Roman Catholic for 21 years, we'll probably use the Roman Catholic Church as the example of this. And there are a billion Catholics, and it is a fertile field of people who need to be communicated to about what the difference is between Catholicism and Christianity. And then, of course, we want business cards with messages on them. And so my designer is going to help us with that. So next, some suggestions. So several things that I'd like you to consider, and these are all things that I would want to tell you on a regular basis. The first is listen to the lessons more than once. I think you get two full hour lessons, 65 minutes in length every week. You get a 10-minute lesson. So if you listened on Sunday to both lessons, then on Monday and Tuesday to the first lesson again, and on Wednesday and Thursday to the second lesson again, and then the Facebook lesson on Friday, and then take Saturday off, every time you listen to these lessons, you'll get a little bit of the Word of God every day, and you will hear them differently. And each lesson, God is speaking to your life. And He will take one piece one day and speak to your life. He'll take another piece another day and speak to your life. And you can do this while you're walking around. Every morning when I get dressed, I am listening to the Word of God from some source. And as I'm, you know, I have a little speaker and I put it in the bathroom. And when I'm showering, I'm listening to the Word of God. And it really helps my day, because a lot of days you just get up and you're thinking is all discombobulated and you hate the world and maybe you don't want to get up when the alarm clock went off, and all of a sudden listening to the Word of God just changes everything in my attitude. So listen to the lessons more than once. Secondly, use the app. And you know, I got a new phone yesterday, so I can show off a little bit. Got a new iPhone, big iPhone. So you just hit the app. And if you want to listen to a lesson, it's just little button pushes. It's really easy. Anybody can tap glass. And the next thing you know, there's a lesson. See that?
Christian Church based in Mesa, Arizona.
Isn't that amazing?
My name is Pastor Rory Clark.
You could do that
Barah
too.
Ministries teaches the Word of God from God's perspective. And not
so. I like that. So use the app. You download it from the Google Play or from the App Store, the Microsoft. It's there for the Microsoft standard as well. And you can have the Word of God anywhere you go. Tune in the radio program online. You can listen to that. That could be your Saturday. If you don't want to take a day off, you can listen to the radio program on Saturday. Invite people to the Facebook pages. There are a lot of really interesting things that you can learn about God by taking in those 10-minute lessons. I hadn't seen my sister or talked to my sister in 27 years before the end of last year, and she's listening to those 10-minute lessons now, which is pretty amazing. Invite people to the church. I mentioned that. We've had a lot of new people come to the church recently, and we really welcome them. And we're happy to have other people coming. Invite people to the website. There are a lot of resources there. We keep lessons for about a year on the website. So if you want to study Romans, we've got over 250 lessons on Romans on the website. And Romans is the best book of all time in my mind. Next, write to me. I'd like to know whether you like or don't like the things you're learning. I'd like to know how the things that you're learning are hitting you. And people regularly send me notes and tell me things that they're thinking or feeling about what they're learning. You can write me at pastor@brahministries.com. And just to give you an example of that, that's one, my new watch going off. That's awesome. That's pretty exciting. It's June Murphy, too. Isn't that funny? Like, I should answer it, but I'm not going to. Pastor, what time? I know what she's doing. Pastor, what time is the lesson? Right now, June. Get over here. So last night, I was out with a client, and he was telling me that he had been having a dilemma about prayer, because he grew up in a very legalistic family. And he said he just didn't know how to pray. And the last two lessons really helped him to put into perspective what prayer is all about. And we have another lesson coming up on prayer. So it's really nice for me to hear that, because when I'm sitting there all day Saturday typing out these lessons, I'm wondering if they land anywhere and what they do. And those are things that I don't get to see. So when you send me a note and tell me this really worked or this didn't, even the things that we do that don't work, it's really valuable to me. So please write. And then the final thing I would say is that, and this is to the ladies of the resident congregation, don't forget the Bosa donuts. You know, because, you know, lately I haven't been eating donuts because I'm trying to get slim in the waist and cute in the face. And just because I'm not eating the Bosa donuts doesn't mean that there aren't other people in the congregation that like the Bosa donuts. And so there have been some subtle complaints coming into the pulpit area about my ruining the chance for people to have Bosa donuts. So I would appreciate it if you ladies would remember that there are other people who like Bosa donuts who are slim, and they are not burdened like I am in the weight category. Bosa donuts, please. So that's the state of the ministry. Just to sum it up, you know, I've been teaching the Word of God since 1999, so this is the 17th year. And I've seen this ministry go from my living room table with two little kids and a wife all the way into this facility, and a quite circuitous journey through hotels and what was that, American Veterans? What was that place? What was it called? Was it AMVET? The American Legion Hall, with the bar right on the other side of the wall and the big pool table where we're teaching around the pool table. And we were in a college. And, you know, we've been everywhere. And just one thing has been consistent, that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to know His Word. And it just keeps getting better and better and better. And I just love this aspect of life. This is the 36 inches that makes sense to me in life. Everything outside of this, yeah, whatever, you know, take your chances. But this 36 inches makes total sense to me. I love this. I love teaching you. I love learning from you. I love learning with you. And the best is yet to come. So let's close with the salvation promises of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. And if you're lost, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the easiest thing in the world to do. It's easy for you because it was not easy for Him, because He came to earth, took on the form of man. God the Son came to earth and took on the form of true humanity, lived 33 years a sinless life, and died the worst death in the history of mankind, the crucifixion, and then went into the grave for 3 full days, and on the 3rd day was resurrected from the dead by God the Holy Spirit and by His Father. And because of that, salvation is wide open to anyone who wants it, with a simple declaration, and that is this, Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. So all you have to do is have a 5-second conversation with God the Father. Father, I believe in Christ, and that's the moment of eternal life for you. And it's nothing more complicated than that. And God has an enemy, Satan, who has religion and uses religion to deceive. He focuses our mind on sin. Sins which were paid for at the cross, he focuses our mind on the law. And the law came in to show us that we were sinful. And he takes all of the focus off of grace. But our God sent his Son. Our God the Father sent his Son so that in grace he could give salvation to everyone. Acts 4:12 says there's salvation in no one else. And there's no other name under heaven that's been given to mankind by which we must be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of small g gods. There are a lot of religions that have 8,000 gods. And there's no way you could get intimate with 8,000 gods. But there's a definite way that you can get intimate with the one and only God, the sovereign God of the universe. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 19:10 says, "The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And if you didn't know this, all of us were born physically alive, spiritually dead, on the wrong side of a barrier, and unable to do anything about it, helpless and hopeless, unable to have a relationship with God. There is none righteous, Not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But now, the righteousness from God. God the Father sent his righteous Son so that we could live. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy 2:9 says, the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us, and he's called us to a holy life, not according to our works. You don't have to work for salvation. There is nothing you could ever do to please God or to in any way intimate that anything you do is righteous apart from him. The Lord has saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and through the grace which was granted to us who are in union with Christ Jesus from all eternity. And so it's as easy as having a short conversation with God the Father for you to be saved. And you do not want to be the person who spends all eternity playing it over and over in your head that the person at the church who turned you off 20 years ago, or the pastor who didn't teach the truth quite right, or the church that you went to that you didn't hate, you didn't like, or all these other things that are human things that get in the way, put all that crap aside and just go behind the eyes of God and see what God sees when he looks at you. And what he sees when he looks at you isn't all your faults, isn't all your mistakes, isn't your situation. What he sees when he looks at you is he loves you like you can't even believe that anyone could love anyone. It's like that look that mothers have in their eyes when they look at that little ugly baby, when that little ugly baby comes out. And moms look at that baby and they say, "Ah, that baby's so beautiful." I'm saying, "Lady, that baby is ugly. I don't even see what you see." But and then the kid grows up and kills 5,000 people, and the reporter sticks a microphone in the mom's mouth. "Tell us about your son, man. What do you think? He just killed 5,000 people." "He's a good boy." That's the way God looks at you. God thinks you hung the moon. He doesn't give one thought to your mistakes, because before he even created you, he knew every mistake you would make, and he created you anyway. And so we need to, as human beings, get comfortable with the fact that God loves us and there are no conditions on it, and that you could never disappoint him, you could never hurt his feelings, you can never surprise him, because he is omniscient and he has always known everything. Nothing sneaks up on God. Let us close in prayer. Almighty God and Father, thank you for giving us this ministry. Thanks for putting it in the care of imperfect people. And thank you for being patient with us as we do our best to build an intimate and deep and personal relationship with you and get to know you and everything that you've planned for us for our glorious future. And we just pray that we can be accurate reflections of you when we go out into the world, and that by showing authenticity in our imperfection, we can attract people to you and to a relationship with you for all eternity. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.